God's people said, amen. Woo, amen. I enjoyed that. Thank you. That's just become one of my favorite songs. I heard that last year up at Gatlinburg when we go to our senior adult conference, and I'm telling you, I play it almost every day at some time or another. It is powerful. Children's church is dismissed at this time. And as they are leaving, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles with me today to Colossians chapter 1. Let me just share something with you that we are in the process of working on. Alex, my son-in-law, he is trying to improve our technology abilities. And if you don't know it, that in the last little while, in case you got sick or you weren't able to make it to our church services, or you know someone who's a shut-in, you can go to our church's webpage and you can listen. You've been able to audibly listen to my messages that I preach. And it only costs you $25 a month. that's a joke. it's totally free. I just had to say that for fun. But you've been able to do that. Now today they bought equipment and they were going to try to what we call live stream it. And so what that means is that if you have a computer at home, you could go to our webpage and you could watch the service live as we are having the service here. But we have some Wi-Fi problems that we need to work on here that we'll need to make that possible. We discovered that. So we're going to be working on all of that. But it is exciting that the Lord is helping us to move forward in those ways. But he is going to record it, and hopefully we will be able to, you'll be able to not just listen, but you can go and watch an actual recording, video recording, where you can actually see my smiling face appear on the screen, actually, and listen to the service that way. So I'm grateful that the Lord is helping us to move forward and advance in those ways. So you can use that to help others. Let me tell you what, I have to share this while I'm telling you this story. I pastored the First Baptist Church of Fayette, Missouri. And I was there from 1986 to 1990. And a man in my church there who was a head of the audiovisual ministry there at that church, he bought back then one of those big cameras. Do you remember those big cameras? And it was a high-quality one. He paid a lot of money for it back then. And he would record the services, and let me tell you what he would do. He bought him then a small VHS player. How many of y'all remember what a VHS player is? All right, he bought one. And he would take the recording that he would do of the service and go to the shut-ins with that VHS player and hook it to their TV and sit right there and watch the worship service with them in their homes with them. It was a wonderful ministry. And then they got all the criminals in town got to know me because he'd take it up to the jail and set it up so they could watch it in the jail. And he would sit there with them and watch the worship service with them. And so I'm thankful to the Lord that that people see the importance of using technology for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is wonderful, and I thank the Lord to see that we are moving forward. Colossians chapter 1. Boy, what a study we've had over the last couple of months as we have adventure in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. We went there so that I could remind the church about the story, the biblical story of creation. We have lost the truth, the biblical truth of creation. We've lost the fact that our world came into existence not by accident, not by evolution, but by a creator, and that creator is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we need to be reminded of that truth, because if we lose that truth, then nearly everything else that we believe in will crumble right underneath us. Because if God is not creator, then there's no reason to talk about God, to preach about God. There's no reason to pursue Him, because if God is not our creator, then we're not responsible to God. But if He is our creator, then we are clearly responsible to Him as the creator. And there's no doubt whatsoever that these verses and all of the Word of God portrays in a bold and powerful way that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is indeed our Creator. And these verses that we have read points that out extremely strong. But then He moves from the story of creation to the story of the church in these verses. And you already heard from me that the reason why is because the story of creation and the story of the church is the same story. It is the story of Christ. Creation is the result of Christ, and the church is the result of Christ. And so we have discovered that the story of both all comes together with the story of Jesus Christ. And so what we've been looking at in the story of the church is that we have looked at already four main points in the story of the church. We found out that the story of the church was a story of designation. The church was designated as the church, and we talked about what that means. We also saw that the story of the church was a story of description. And in these verses, the church is described as the body, and we talked about what that meant. And we also discovered that the story of the church was the story of dominion, because everybody needs a head, and that head is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body of Christ. He has dominion over the church and creation as far as that goes. And then last week on our celebration of Easter, we found out that the story of the church is the story of defeat. And it was the defeat that Christ put upon the grave and upon death and upon sin and upon hell. And the victory that He's given to us is because He had the victory. And that victory has spread to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, who was the firstborn from among the dead to give us victory over hell, death, and the grave. Now today I want us to look at the story of the church is not only a story of designation, not only a story of description, not only a story of dominion and defeat, but I want you to understand that the story of the church is also a story of deity. It is the story of deity. Now you need to understand something. That verse 19 is the primary verse that we're focusing upon today. And you need to know that it is probably the most important verse in all of these verses. Everything that we've looked at for the last 2 months, as we study these verses, they all find their fulfillment in verse 19. But let me begin reading with verse 15, and read through 21 so that you can get the whole picture once again. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Now listen to verse 19. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. And I just want to say amen and hallelujah. But let me go ahead and finish reading. Verse 19 again. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The story of the church. And my fifth point in this series of the story of the church is that the story of the church is the story of deity. Verse 19 leaves no uncertainty whatsoever about the deity of Jesus Christ. Verse 19 brings it all together and reveals unequivocally and reveals without any doubt whatsoever and reveals with all the power and the strength that Paul had to say it, is that Jesus Christ is full of all the deity of the blessed Godhead. Amen and hallelujah. He wants you to understand that Jesus Christ is full, complete deity. Now, let me point this out to you. First of all, I want you to notice with me the declaration of his deity. Look at the declaration of his deity. And all I mean by that is that verse 19 is just a flat-out declaration that Jesus Christ is not partial God. He's not some God. He's not a little bit God. He's not a hopeful God. He is not someone who just wanted to be God. No, it flat out declares with no if, ands, or but that Jesus Christ is God completely. That's the end of the story. That's his declaration. And that's what he wants you to know. You don't doubt one idea that Jesus is anything other than God in all the fullness. He is declaring it with all the boldness that he can. And listen, this is not the only place. Look in chapter 2. Go to chapter 2 and look with me at verses 9 and 10 of Colossians chapter 2. Two of my favorite Bible verses. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 9. He says, For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Did you catch it? Listen to verse 9 again. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Go to John's Gospel and chapter 1 and listen to John's Gospel and chapter 1 and what he says in verse 14. He says in these words, he says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me. He has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another blessing." Understand that scripture is saying that all the fullness of God's grace dwells in the person of Jesus Christ. And the reason why you can experience grace upon top of grace is because Jesus had all the fullness of that grace in him. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand the Bible does not back down, not one iota, when it comes for you and I understanding who Jesus Christ is. He is deity, full and complete. He was, is, and will ever be God. Hallelujah and amen. And we must understand that. The scripture is very clear. There are other scriptures that we can read, we could read, to back that point up. But you understand that that's what we need to really get our hearts and minds wrapped around. Because listen to me, there was a false teaching of that day and age, and it's around today as well. And that false teaching, and this is what Paul was trying to correct, this false teaching. This false teaching said it's like a ladder, like a giant ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. And on every rung that's on the way up to heaven to God, there are spirit beings on each rung of the ladder. And each one of those spirit beings get a little bit closer to God and a little bit closer. And for humanity to be able to get in touch with God, they have to go through all of those spirit beings to get to God. And one of the spirit beings was Jesus Christ. He was somewhere between heaven and earth among all the other spirit beings. Paul wanted to let you know that that was a lie of the devil. Paul wanted to let you know that that came straight out of the pit of hell. Paul wants you and I to know that Jesus Christ is not one of many, but Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the only way to get from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. He's the only way to get from humanity to God is through Jesus Christ. He alone is the one way and only way, because He alone is the fullness of God. There's no lacking in Him whatsoever. He is God in flesh. He is God and God alone. And through Jesus Christ alone can you and I reach the throne of grace. There are not many ways. There are not many spiritual beings. There are not many persons, and that you got to get through each one of them to finally get to God. There's only one, and it's Jesus Christ, because He has the fullness of God dwelling in Him. And all of God's people said, amen. Listen, you and I have got to declare that. We live in a day and age that needs to hear that once again. How often do you hear the name of Jesus Christ in the daytime? You know what? No, I'm going to tell you, you hear it a lot, but it's never to honor the name of Jesus Christ. You hear Jesus' name used as a swear word nowadays more than any other name out there, don't you? And that belittles the name of Jesus Christ. And you and I don't need to be using that name in that way. There's only one way to use the name of Jesus Christ, and that is to exalt that name, hallelujah. And that is to let the world know that the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name, and that in Jesus Christ all the fullness of God dwelt. And He is not one of many, but he is the whole shebang. And you and I need to know that if we're going to be right with God, if we're going to get to God, if we're going to know God, it is by coming to Jesus and Jesus alone. And let me tell you, let me say this to you, that ought to be exciting to you and me. And you know why? Just to know that our Savior, he don't like nothing. Can I say it that way? He don't like nothing. He don't like anything. You and I are not going to come up a little bit short and a little bit shy because our Savior was just a little bit shy of being fully God. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Our Savior has it all. Woo! He is fully God. And that means I lack nothing. I fear not making it to glory. I fear not being able to live in this world the way God wants me to live it. I fear not that I can't serve the living Lord Jesus because I know my Savior, who he is fully God. Whew. And then let me say this to you. Not only do we notice the declaration of his deity, but notice the duration of his deity. Notice what it says in verse 19 of verse 1. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness." Now notice the next word, "dwell in him." Now someone might say, how long? For how long? Are we talking about a temporary dwelling? Are we talking about something that comes and goes? Are we talking about, well, it was great while it lasted? Listen to me. The Greek rendering of that word dwell leaves no doubt whatsoever that we're not talking about a temporary dwelling, but we're talking about a permanent dwelling. Amen and hallelujah. For let me ask you a question. How could it be anything other than a permanent dwelling? Because if you're God, that means you always have been. If you're God, that means that you always will be. If you're God, how could you be not God a while, and then suddenly you're God a while, and then suddenly you're not? Listen, you either God or you ain't, right? You either God, oh, let me say it right, or you're not. And you either have been, and you always will be, or you just plain never were. And therefore, you never will be. Did y'all get all that? Did y'all write that down? That all sounded pretty good. Did you get that recorded, I hope, up there? Great. I don't think I could say it again. You just need to understand something. Your blessed Savior will be your blessed Savior always. Your blessed Lord will be your blessed Lord always. Your blessed God will be your blessed God always. And he will never lack being God. Never, not once, never ever. Hallelujah! The deity dwells in him forever. Ever blessed be the name of the Lord. Give him a hand. Would you do that today? Praise him. Woo! Praise the Lord. I might get excited and start preaching. I want you to know today that I can't emphasize to you so much this importance of this verse. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. You say, I don't understand. Well, listen, if you could understand, then he wouldn't be God. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. They are three persons. But they are so connected that you can't have one without the other. They are so connected that you can say the Spirit is God. They're so connected that you can say the Son is God. They're so connected that you can say that the Father is God. They're so connected that one is not without the other. They are always together as the one true God. And Jesus Christ, when He walked upon the earth, carried about in Him all the fullness of the Godhead in Him bodily. This is why I love to tell my testimony. And you've heard it, but I want to share it with you right now, because I think that and we may just end on my testimony, because I think it needs to be reminded, and you need to hear it again. When I was 16 years old, having gone to Myrtle Beach with the youth from my church on a long weekend trip, there was another group of Christians from North Carolina that were camping out. We didn't know them, and they didn't know us, but God just happened to put us in the same campground and maybe only one or two campsites between us and them. And they were, another group of young Christians, they were on fire for Jesus. They weren't just talking about being Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and the list goes on and on. They weren't talking about just being church members and being baptized. They were talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God used their testimony to encourage me that I needed to truly surrender my heart and life to not just being a church member, to not just being a Baptist, but to belonging to Jesus Christ. And when I came back from that trip, I fell on my knees that next Sunday morning at Rocky Hill Baptist Church in Cedar Mountain, North Carolina. And I said to Jesus, if I'm not right with You, I want to be. If I don't belong to You, I want to. And I surrender my all to You. And that's when I surrendered my life to Jesus, and that's when He saved me. But when I was 18 and 19 years old, God called me to preach when I was 18. Tammy and I and so many of the youth from our church, we got involved with several other youth groups in Transylvania County up there in Brevard, and they were, like us, getting excited about a relationship with Jesus Christ. But at that time, the charismatic movement was real strong, and it was sweeping through all the denominations and all the churches. And a lot of my friends used to say to me, Ralph, you got Jesus, but there's more you need. You need a Spirit. You need the gifts. You need this. You need that. And I began to wonder, well, am I missing out on some of the things God wants me to have? Do I not have everything the Lord intends on Ralph Lee having? Do I only have part of God? And here's what happened. The Lord led me to the Mount of Transfiguration story. And when you read that story, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on top of a high mountain. And when they got up there, Jesus was transfigured and all of His deity shined through Him, all of His divinity, all of His glory. They'd never seen Jesus like that. He was brighter than the sun. And there appeared unto Him Moses and Elijah as well. And they were having a conversation about what Jesus was getting ready to have to go through. And Peter, like me, having a big mouth, he just didn't know what to do. So he did what us guys with big mouths do. He started talking. He put his foot in his mouth. And he said, wow, this is great. I'm going to build three tabernacles up here. Three dwelling places. One for You, Jesus. One for You, Moses. One for You, Elijah. And we're just going to set up on this mountaintop forever. This is amazing. And the Bible says, a great cloud appeared. And then a voice came out of that cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him only." And Peter, James, and John, they fell flat on the ground. I mean, they didn't want to see God because they were taught if they ever saw God with their eyes, they would die. So they fell flat out. And then the Bible says Jesus went over them and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, now listen to what it says, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when I read that, God struck me like I've never been struck before. God spoke to me like I've never been spoken before. And you know what God said to me in my heart? God said to me, "Ralph Lee, when you hear Jesus only and when you see Jesus only, you've seen all you've ever need to hear, and you have heard all you ever need to hear, and you've seen all you need to see, because wrapped up in Jesus Christ is the blessed Godhead fully, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you get Jesus Christ, you get the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because in Jesus all the Godhead dwells bodily." And God's people said, "Amen." That settled it for me. When Jesus Christ came into my life, I got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I got the package deal, brothers and sisters. I got not only the electric windows, the air conditioning, but I tell you, I got a tinted roof. I got a glass roof. I got a car that can talk to me. I got a car that can park itself. I got a car that can do everything. It was a Ford, of course. But I want you to know, you need to understand, it had everything. It lacked nothing. It was the package deal. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you get the package deal all wrapped up in Jesus. Now, we have to grow so that the Holy Spirit can begin to work in our lives. We have to grow so that we can develop our talk with the Father. But when you get Jesus, you get it all. You know? That's why He's the Creator. And that's why He builds the church, because all the fullness of God dwells in Him. Now, you know what the good news is? You know what Ralph Lee has dwelling in him? No. You know who Ralph Lee has dwelling in him? By the way, you don't know who Ralph Lee is. That's me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Because as a young man, I surrendered my life to Christ. When He came in, the Father came and the Spirit. How about you? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You today that as we examine this passage of Scripture, we are not left with any doubt as to who Jesus is. He is not one who is only partially capable and only one of many gods and only one who can help us partially to God. Father, for You have revealed to us in this one verse alone that all the fullness of the deity, all the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. Always has, always is, and always will. And I thank You that that means today that when one comes and surrenders their life to Jesus Christ, they get the package deal. And you have made a promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. The duration of your deity with Christ is the same duration that you've promised to us, that as your fullness has dwelt Him through all eternity, that in Christ you will dwell us for all eternity. Blessed be your holy name. Father, whomever today needs to surrender their life to Christ and experience that fullness, may today be the day. And Father, I pray that your people will so be moved that they'll come and kneel and praise your name for who you are and for dwelling in them. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn. And let me just say to you, this altar is open and you are to flood this place and fall on your knees and give God the praise that in Jesus all the fullness of God dwells. And when you trust Him, all the fullness of God dwells in you. And if you don't have that assurance, you need to come to me and let me help you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.
We're going to sing hymn number 3, Worthy of Worship.
God's people said, amen and hallelujah. Let me share with you that again today. Be reminded that at 4 o'clock, you have your VBS meeting here. And if you've not signed up, still come on out if you're interested in serving, so you can find out what we're doing and how you can plug in. That's at 4 p.m. today. Then at 6 o'clock, we have a very informal time of just coming and gathering and praying and talking about the message from this morning, and it's just a good time We enjoy it. Just come on out. Be very informal. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that at 6, okay? Remember, 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock we have our meal, and at 7 o'clock we have Bible study for all ages, children, youth, and adults. We want to see you on Wednesday nights. We are having a great time in our Bible study, and our youth and children, and our age, GAs, they all are as well. And we'll look forward to seeing you then. Jesus loves you. We're going to have our closing prayer. And you have a great day in Jesus Christ. And remember, go out there with your head high, because your Savior has all the fullness of God in Him. You can't get any better than that. That says it all.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And Father, just help us in our everyday life that we build that relationship day by day, Father, and we grow stronger and closer to you each and every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.